It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. And lots to get through today, including, by the way, who would have thought, by the way, that eating bacon and cabbage and living on a farm could be bad for the Irish? Well, according to the SPHE book being given to children for school today, which a lot of people have given out about over the weekend, well, it could be bad. We'll talk about that later on if we get a chance. But the first thing I want to get to very simply is the British government plans to ban smoking in pub beer gardens and other outdoor venues, and a sensible approach is what they say to help people stopping smoking. Sir Keir Starmer confirmed leaked reports on Thursday that his government are considering a smoking ban, which would also include outdoor restaurants, outdoor sports venues, beer gardens, hospitals, nightclubs, and in some small parks. And this is outdoors. They've already banned it indoors, obviously. The proposal has been criticised by the Conservatives and others as being a breach of people's freedoms, with the government accused of bringing in nanny state laws. But the Education Minister, Baroness Jackie Smith, told Sky News it's a sensible approach and will help people reduce their smoking and cut the 80,000 people who die every year from smoking-related diseases. She said a ban would mean there would be fewer places where you could actually smoke, and that would make it much more likely that people who are direct active smokers will actually want to give up in the future. Now, this comes off the back of suggestions, of course, in Britain as well, more recently, that we kind of banned smoking kind of going by a year up every year. In other words, it's over 18s this year, over 19s next year, over 20s the year after, and so on and so forth and so far, till eventually in 60 years time everybody has stopped smoking. But that kind of went out the window, as it did in Australia. But this seems to be something that they're genuinely going to do. So as you know, at this very moment in time, you cannot smoke in a public place, so to speak, in a workplace, in other words, indoors. But how would you feel if you couldn't even sit outside in the beer garden on a Sunday afternoon and have a cigarette? I know it annoys people who are non-smokers around you, but does it really do them any harm? Probably not. But according to Keir Starmer and the British government, it will save the NHS a fortune and save your health in the future. So should we do the same? Should the HSE be saved all that money and that inconvenience of the future of people lying on their deathbeds with cancer when they're 80 years of age because they smoked all their lives and we didn't discourage them from doing it? But I don't think the Restaurant Association will be too happy about it, nor will the pubs, because of course that's another nail in the coffin for the business. So let me know what you think. Would it be a good idea? According to our poll on Twitter so far, by the way, over 300 people have voted in the last 20 minutes, and 14% agree it should be banned. The rest of you say absolutely not. Let me first go to Adrian Cummins from the Restaurant Association of Ireland. Adrian, good afternoon to you. Nice to talk to you.
Good afternoon.
Adrian, would this be another nail in the coffin for the industry?
Absolutely, and I think your poll shows that there isn't a huge appetite in Ireland for that, that proposal by the UK government in terms of banning outdoor smoking in outdoor areas in hospitality. I think the reason why we have an outdoor areas for that fact that it allowed smokers to smoke outside in the fresh air, mm-hmm. and it helps customers that would like to have a cigarette in a social environment to be able to smoke in an area that they wouldn't be, you know, basically out onto the street in the middle of the lashing rain. That would be in a kind of an enclosed area in a hospitality venue that is, the law requires that over 60% of the area is to the outdoor elements. So that means that, you know, that if this plan would come in Ireland, I think that would show us a huge amount more of hospitality businesses. And it would be fly in the face of what people have invested in outdoor smoking areas by the hospitality industry over the many, many years since the smoking ban came in.
I mean, I completely agree with you, by the way, Adrian, because I've worked in the hospitality industry for 30 years, and I remember when the smoking ban came in. What was it, 2003, I think, was it at the time?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, it was Micheál Martin would have been Minister of Health at that particular time, if I remember rightly. But I remember we thought at the time, and I'm just giving you the counter-argument, we thought at the time when I worked in the nightclub industry, this is going to be a huge nail in the coffin for the nightclub industry. And, you know, I'm sure people are not going to adhere to it. People will be smoking on the floor. We'll be constantly telling them to stop and everything else. Because, of course, even as a DJ working in the nightclub, I go through 10 cigarettes while I was working. But in saying that, it didn't take long for people to adapt. They adapted fairly quickly. I don't think it made a huge difference to business. You know, people kind of naturally just went, who wanted to smoke, went outside. But I think a lot of people who did smoke kind of just sacrificed for the night and just didn't bother. Some of them just didn't bother. One or two might have got it turned to a bit of a social event outside. I mean, would people just not naturally adhere to it? In the interest of public health, is it not a good idea?
I know if you were to bring it to the, let's say, the full evolution of having nobody smoking in the country. And, you know, it probably, that proposal of having no smoking in all of hospitality, yes, you probably say, yeah, we'll have zero smoking in our country. But you still, what we have at the moment is we have people that are trying to get off cigarettes, they're moving on to vape. How do you regulate for that?
I'm assuming it'll all come under the same control, because as you know now, vapes correct. Come under the tobacco control now in Ireland under the same legislation.
Correct. So I think, you know, and we saw that the HSC themselves said they weren't too keen in terms of regulating against vapes a number of months ago. And they actually said, we like vapes because it migrates people from cigarettes on towards not smoking in the future. So I think that if you went for the full, let's call it the full Monty in this, that you would absolutely have no smoking in any footprint of a hospitality business. Does that mean that you'll have smoking will be banned in stadiums? Would it be banned in sports areas, which would be outdoors? Where do you draw the line then? And I think, you know, that we're now traveling into chartered waters of a nanny statism, where people are going to be told, you know, you just can't have a cigarette even in your own home. So I think that, you know, this is a step too far. I think what we have done is we have accommodated the reduction in smoking within in an enclosed area and moved it to an outdoor area where there's more fresh air, where the proximity to other customers in terms of smoke is not as much. So I think that's the fairest way of doing it at the moment. And you have to be practical about this as well. And I don't think, you know, it's early days in the UK. I don't think it's going to, I think there'll be it'll be watered down by the time to get to actually an implementation of it in the UK. And hopefully this side of the IRC will have a more practical approach to it and leave well alone is what I would do. I think we were the first in Europe to introduce it. I think we're doing as well as best as we can.
Just a final question for you, Adrian, because I know you're pressed for time yourself, but of course the hospitality industry is going through a very tough period at the moment. Every day we're seeing stories of restaurants closing down, going bankrupt, you know, in debt, whatever it happens to be, not being able to manage to run anymore. I mean, the budget is coming very soon. There's a possibility maybe that they may reduce the VAT rate back to 9%. Doesn't look likely, but even though the pressure is being put on, what is the state of the industry at the moment? Are we anywhere close back to 2019 levels again?
Absolutely not. And you're not going to see the level of closure stop if they don't put back the VAT rate. You know, you're going to see continuing closures beyond the budget if they don't address that VAT rate. And every restaurant operator, coffee shop operator, food service operator, if there's only one ask from the government, and that's the 9% VAT rate. We don't want a grant. We don't want a handout. We just want that VAT rate put back to normal. And that's where what we're looking at here.
Listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on talking to us today. Adrian Cummins, the Restaurant Association of Ireland. Also, I want to go, if I can, to Paul Trevaux. Paul, welcome along to the show. Paul, another nail in the coffin for the restaurant industry if they even attempt to suggest this in Ireland. Now, I'm going to be conscious of this. Stephen Donnelly hasn't opened his beak in relation to this particular legislation, but you know as well as I do, everything Britain does, we seem to do as well.
Yeah, this is a classic example of, oh my God, everybody's talking about something. We need them to talk about something else. Create a problem quick. We're going to ban smoking outdoors. And then everyone's talking about, oh God, nobody's talking about Israel and Palestine and businesses going bust in McGraw. Problem solved. That's all this is. What a load of crap.
What distraction, distraction, distraction,
absolutely.
Is it?
What a load of absolute utter. Imagine if Stephen Donnelly comes out with this. Great, none of us are talking about that children's hospital that's due to open it. Is it the same time, 2074 now?
But didn't Stephen distract last week by saying he was thinking of banning smartphones for under 16s? That was his latest distraction last week. I'm pretty sure this week now, after obviously the announcement over the weekend by Keir Starmer that he's going ahead with this, a leaked document, I'm sure Stephen will have something to say about it today, maybe later on.
Well, what Keir Starmer should do is, first of all, he should look at banning absolute scumbags walking around his cities and his towns with knives, slashing people and stabbing people. That's the first thing I'd be looking to be banning. Coming after something like, why don't we just ban smoking at all altogether? You know, if that's the route they're going, why don't we just ban the whole thing?
But isn't that the plan, Paul? I mean, from a public health point of view, and by the way, I'm a smoker, but you know what? It wouldn't bother me tomorrow if they banned smoking. Now, it would bother me from a principal point of view. In other words, I don't believe the government should ever be allowed to do that, because I think we should have freedoms to kill ourselves if we want to. But in saying that, I mean, I have the freedom to be in bad health if I want to be in bad health. You know, because I can overeat. I can sit in your restaurant eating steaks all day if I want to, and overeat if I want to. I can smoke. I can drink too much. I can do all of those things. And I should have the freedom to do those things. But we have to think of other people too. And we have to think of the HSE. Keir Starmer saying he's thinking of the NHS and the future health of the country.
So let's, I always say, if you want to solve a problem, find the source of the problem. So let's look at the source of what and why they're trying to do this. And the reality of it is, it'll make bugger all of a difference to the NHS or the HSE. It'll make absolutely nothing. It was like that calories on menus crap that I was fighting against for 10 years. Absolute nonsense.
Now, nobody looks at it. Nobody looks at it.
Yeah.
Waste of time.
And also, we're about to allow 200 new, I better not mention the name, but a very well-known fast food operator to about to open up inside, which is laced full of chemicals, toxins, all kinds of stuff that's crap for you. But that's no problem. That's going to cause a fortune, cost a fortune for the HSE to fix, for people going in with obesity. But no, that's fine. So let's create this little smoke screen, this little kind of nonsense to say, hey, listen, let's ban smoking outdoors. The reality of it is, if they do it, it won't make a bugger all difference to either the NHS or the HSE. And they know it. They know damn well that it's going to make no difference.
Yeah, but would you have many customers now be nipping outside for a cigarette? Because if I go into a restaurant, with the greatest respect, Paul, if I popped into your restaurant for a meal, I'm not going to stop halfway through the meal, you know, while I'm waiting for my main course after my starter to run outside for a cigarette. And I like smoking, but I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, no, in fairness, it's very rare. I tell you one thing in fairness. The best thing that ever happened to this country, in my opinion, was banning smoking indoors, because it was just, I mean, we used to go home at the end of the night, reeking of cigarettes, thinking of smoke.
I'm sure I worked in the nightclub industry, I remember it. Yeah.
I mean, like, the wife would be looking at you going, you are smoking. I'm going, oh, Jesus.
But see,
I mean,
now, well, here's the thing, Paul. You've just said that was the best thing that ever happened. And I remember the resistance of that at the time, because I was working on the radio, and I remember talking to Micheál Martin and many other people in Fianna Fáil who brought that in at the time. I think Fianna Fáil brought it in. We were the first country in Europe to do it. And I remember the resistance. Oh, that'll be the end of the nightclub industry, the end of the pub industry, the end of the restaurant industry, the end of the cinemas, the end of everything. It'll be the end of everything. And I remember the resistance to it. But hey, it happened, and it didn't really create a huge problem.
The difference indoor smoking and outdoor smoking was that indoor smoking affected everybody. The people who didn't smoke were sitting there breathing in the passive smoke, whether it be an elderly person, whether it be a child. They were all breathing in the smoke.
He says as he coughs.
I know, yeah, you tried 20 fags myself. Yeah. But outdoor smoking doesn't make a blind bit of difference to anybody. If you're having a cigarette outside, the smoke is gone. It doesn't affect anybody. It's not hanging around in the room or any of that kind of crap. So it's an absolute smoke screen. It's another kind of load.
Yeah, but non-smokers will tell you, I don't want someone sitting outside, you know, Truro's restaurant, if there's a few tables and chairs there during the summer in Killarney, and I'm enjoying my cigarette, and some poor tourist sitting beside me, the smoke blowing in their face, you know what I mean? That's what they'd say.
Well, I mean, let's for once try and hold the government to task and ask them to prioritise what needs to be done immediately. And banning smoking outdoors isn't even in the top 100 that needs to be done. So they're only cobbing themselves saying this is going to save. Because, I mean, what are they going to do? The cynic will turn around and say, it's just another reason to stop people talking to each other outside. Or it's another reason to stop people going to the pub talking to each other. Keep them inside watching the brainwashing TV so that their minds aren't polluted with opinions and great ideas as to how to shut down the government. Now, that's the cynic talking. That's the guy with the tinfoil hat talking. Or is it? That's the question. But no, look, the reality of it is that this will make absolutely no difference. It's what they're saying.
You're saying it'll make no difference. And by the way, I agree with you, right? But I'm giving you the counter argument. And I gave it to Adrian Cummins. When I worked, you know, going back to the nightclub industry in 2003 when they banned smoking, we were all in a panic. Oh, it's going to kill business. It's gone. Nobody's going to come in anymore. And all. It made no difference. And here's the thing, right? Although we had a smoking area outside Club M, you know, on whatever street that was there at the back of Temple Bar, you know, very few people actually used it. Some people did. But those generally who were smokers, who I assume at the time were probably 20 to 30% of the dancing population in the club, most of them just kind of sacrificed the 4 hours and didn't bother having a smoke. So maybe we did them good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, look, there's no doubt the indoor smoking, there's no doubt.
No, again, I'm not talking about indoor smoking. I'm talking about them wanting to go out for a cigarette. In other words, if you ban it in the beer garden and ban it outside the restaurant or the pub or whatever it is, the hospitality, the hotel, whatever it is, they won't bother going out. Do you understand what I'm saying? They'll just go, I just won't have one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I don't think so. I don't think it makes people who did stop smoking indoors would have had a fag before they went in, and then maybe if they're around the likes of Killarney going from bar to bar, they'll have a fag when they walk from one to the next one. And I don't think it really stops people from, maybe initially stop people from going, oh, I'm not going out for that crap. But I think people just came back out and they realised, actually, you know what, I don't need to have my 10 cigarettes in an hour. I can have one or two. I don't think it made that much of a difference. But this, the crux, again, it's really important that we understand, they're saying they're doing this in order to save the NHS, in order to save the HSE. Well, we haven't done it here in Ireland, but if that's what we're talking about. And the answer is that's absolutely not. They could do a hell of a lot more. They could explain the toxins, the food, the absolute muck that's put into ultra-processed food that's causing people obesity, that's highly addictive, that makes you crave all this kind of junk. You ever sitting there and go, geez, I'd love a bag of crisps now. That's because
now I'm thinking I'd love a Kentucky Fried. I'd love crisps. Kentucky Fried Hot Wing.
So yeah, I mean,
you need to give me the recipe, Paul, for the Kentucky Fried Hot Wings. I need to make me.
I'll give you half of it. I have our industry is in enough crap going on at the moment that the last thing we need is another bit of red tape and another bit of legislation to adhere to. I was listening to Adrian there talking about, and I know they harp on VAT 9. I disagree with Adrian completely on this. I think there's much more to it. The problem is nobody has the balls to say that the real thing that's killing us was the increase of the minimum wage that happened this year. And you'll hear people, oh, you don't want to pay your staff. It's got nothing to do with that. I pay the staff 50 quid an hour, but you're going to pay 100 quid for a breast of chicken. So it doesn't matter what we pay. But what the government did was they put this huge onus and this huge financial pressure on all small family-run businesses throughout the country, rural Ireland, even in cities, whatever. They put this huge onus and everybody had to go up a level, not just the minimum wage. Everybody went up a level. The employer's RSI contribution went up higher. And that is what's absolutely crucifying us. VAT was always at 13.5%. Would I love to see it at 9%? Of course. Would I love to see, it's incredible. You never hear the media. They always go on and go, oh, restaurants never reduce the price of their food when they drop the VAT from 13.5% to 9%. Well, here's a funny one. Have you seen the price of a newspaper come down since they brought VAT in the media from 9% to, guess what? 0%. Amazing how the government takes care of the media all the time.
Well, it was the reason that Pascal Dunne, who brought that in 2020, the reason was because most newspapers were moving to online. And, you know, and newspapers were struggling. Let's be clear about it. The circulation of newspapers has drastically dropped. We've seen that because of technology. And it was a new instrument, the newspapers, like I'm using right now, for example. You know, the VAT rate for news podcasts is also at 0% because obviously we're giving news. But in saying that, they had to drop it because they had no choice. They couldn't afford it. They were making no money online. It was a transition period. Now, look, I'm not going to hold my breath.
I'm sure
he's going to put the VAT back on it.
Restaurants and hairdressers.
Yeah, but your business didn't change. But hang on, you weren't serving your food online. Your business model didn't change.
So we didn't go online, but we lost 40% of our tourist accommodation and tourists coming into the country because the government had a brainwave of filling mass immigration into tourist accommodation. So we didn't have the same problem as in online, but we had the same problem as our business was seriously affected. And the knock-on effect for that, because there's nothing worse than another restaurateur pissing and moaning again, and I'm a hairdresser. So the reality of it is, if the tourist isn't coming in to stay in the hotel, they're not coming to my restaurant, they're not going to the hairdresser, they're not going to the shops, they're not going using the Jarvis. So there's a massive spin-on effect. So the logic of dropping media 9% to 0%, very coincidental at the same time.
Well, it was. Now, it's not all media. It was just any media that's operating on news. No, it's not just print. Yeah. No, it's online as well. It's any media that operates news. Yeah.
So if we're going to use that logic that we have to save that industry because they're being crippled, well, then how many industries, as I said, restaurants, bars, hairdressers, so many different tour operators, so many different businesses are being crippled because of business, the way this government have failed ridiculous policies over the last 10 years that are crucifying us. That's the crux of the reason. So we need to turn around and address the real problems. And I can tell you one thing, it ain't sitting outside smoking a fag that we need to solve. It's getting rid of the absolute morons that are up there in Leinster House that are making all these policies that are crippling every single person in the country right now.
Just stay there for a second. Let me just go to John. Norman and Maureen, I'll be with you in a second. John, hi, how are you?
I'm not so bad, yourself?
Good, you heard Paul Trevoux. It's another nail in the coffin. You know, if they did something like that. But you, look, would you agree with it, mind you?
I agree as regards the 9% and the VAT of all that, but as regards the smoking, I have no time for Keir Starmer. I think he's a bluffer. I think he's going to be caught out down along the line. I reckon he won't last that long. But on the smoking, I do agree. You know, I've been on several times over the years with you, right? No, I'm not coming from a high model ground. I'm not kind of taking the high ground. I'm not being kind of clamping down on top of people who are smoking. I wish they didn't. But why you want the smoke on completely? I want cigarettes banned from this country. We were the first to introduce in Europe the smoking ban. Let's be the first to ban smoking completely, right? And I'm coming at it not from the selfish point of view. I'm coming at it from a health point of view. I don't want to see you sick because you still smoke. I don't want to see Paul if he smokes sick. I don't want to see anybody sick. I know a nurse and she's involved in healthcare. And she said the amount of smokers that end up having getting limbs amputated for the circulation has damaged from heavy smoking.
Well, if you go by your logic, right? So, in other words, the cigarette is the tool that causes the problem, right? You know, well, then let's just close Paul down completely just in case people go in and eat too much while they're in there. You know, are they, you know, are they eating in restaurants 5 nights a week and eating big steaks? You know what I mean? You're missing the point I'm making. I mean, there has to be a level, as I said to Paul Trevoux, there has to be a level of freedom. If you want to be in bad health, you should have the freedom to be in bad health.
Well, I'll take you up and that's the way now. The thing is, that's a selfish choice then if you're going to balance it out that way, right? And I'll tell you why. That means the person with the organic illness that didn't go looking for cancer or some other disease like MS or whatever, right? They are under waiting lists now longer because you, the smoker, many, and I'm talking about all the smokers out there, not just you, right, are taking up valuable space in consultants' rooms, operating theatres, years of treatment, whatever.
Would you say the same to people who are obese who might just eat too much? Because they comfort ease or they have anxieties or whatever. Are you going to give out to them and say you're taking up too much space in the hospital too? What about people with liver disease from drinking? Are they taking up too much space too?
Well, let's deal with one problem at a time.
I'm only saying, like. Yeah, okay, yeah, well, let me go back to Paul. Paul, there you go. John agrees with it because he wouldn't mind if they just banned smoking altogether. To be honest with you, most people probably think that's probably some sort of good idea in the future. But yeah, because, you know, you're taking up all those people, Paul, who smoke outside your restaurant or other people's restaurants or bars. It will end up in bad health and take up space in hospitals for genuine people who don't smoke.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I used to smoke. I don't smoke anymore. I'm off them since the 2nd of January 2000. I only smoked for about 4 or 5 years. And I never looked back, never took a drag since, never took a patch, never took anything at all, no interest in them at all. But I understand, like you said, look, if people want to smoke, that's fine. But don't forget what we said about during COVID. Well, if you're not getting the vaccination, then you can rot in hell and you're not going to get to use the hospital if you get sick. Remember that crap they used to throw at us?
Oh, yeah.
So you wouldn't be allowed into a restaurant.
You wouldn't have been allowed into the restaurant, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it depends which restaurant. Anyway,
you were allowed into DeVos restaurant. Go on. Yeah.
I've never judged anyone in my life. I'm not going to start now. So, I understand. I think it would be amazing. Smoking is, look, we all know the health issues with regards to smoking. It'd be amazing if we could ban it altogether. But anyone who's smoking is now throwing their foot at the radio listening to this. So, but I get it. But smoking, there's no doubt about it. I'd be delighted personally if we were to never see another cigarette anywhere in the country or anyone ever smoking. But before we look at that, I'd be more concerned about vaping. Nobody mentions vaping, where this huge industry is now after coming in and you're putting in flavorings, chemicals, toxins, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, but it all comes under the same legislation, Paul, anyway. Anybody who believes vaping is good for your health is a clown. We know that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It couldn't be good for your health.
That's worse for you than what any cigarettes will do. And the problem with vaping is now that they've made it really attractive to kids because they've got all these different flavors.
Yeah, you're not answering John's question, but John is quite happy to see it banned in outdoor spaces, including, by the way, beer gardens, pubs, restaurants, everything else, because it's another way of reducing the amount of people smoking. Sorry, John, I'll just come back in there.
Look, I mean, Paul knows he's well able to talk and he's a great communicator for his industry, right? But He knows damn well himself that his business and all the other businesses, like, it doesn't matter, they won't stand or fall by what happens with the smoking. It's what he just said, it's about the VAT. It's not about the cigarettes, like, your business will still stand, Paul, right? And many other businesses, please God, right? But they won't fall just because smoking is banned outside. It's the VAT rate now will save you guys, like. So I believe all the rest of, like, a lot of them are very gung-ho, as the girls who happened during the COVID with the carry-on. But I mean, what they should do now, I think they should get behind this. And it would actually encourage people to come out.
There you go, Paul. Get behind it, Paul.
Well,
get behind it, Paul.
Well, I tell you again, you know me and my cynical mind. You could be sitting there, and we know that the numbers in the police force and the guards are absolutely crumbling to a really worrying level now at the moment. So wouldn't it be much easier if we just could manage somehow for people to stay at home and not come out at night to bars and restaurants, so we don't need as many police minding when they're coming out? So,
that's not what he's saying. You know that's not what he's saying.
No, I know. I agree exactly that smoking should be banned 100%. I'd love to.
Okay, well, do you agree it should be banned from outside your restaurant?
Yeah, so very, very careful. So I agree smoking should be banned entirely.
No, okay, I know that. That's fine.
Banning it outside a bar and restaurant will do nothing. Banning it outside hairdressers will do nothing. Banning it outside a cinema will do nothing because they're still smoking. So it's doing absolutely nothing.
In fairness, people said the same that in there. And I know many, many, many people, because they couldn't smoke inside in the bar, and especially in the winter, they weren't going out in the rain and the freezing cold outside, and they actually stopped smoking completely. So in fairness, it's the one decent thing that fool Martin ever did, that he brought in the smoking ban, right? Because I actually said it to him at the time. We made a presentation, God forgive me, when they think, well, I can't send the man out. But as the girls, non-smokers, we made a presentation to him, right? And I said to him on the day, and if he was standing in front of him, maybe he wouldn't remember it. I said, what you done? I said, with the smoking ban, I said, you have saved many, many, many lives going into the future. And he said, really, you think so? I says, I know so. And I stand over that.
Yeah, no, he is probably right, Paul. And I would be testament to that, because I saw it in the nightclub industry. People who I knew were smokers who just didn't bother going out to smoke because it was too cold, too wet, and it was annoying to have to keep running up the stairs and go out the door all the time. So people did choose not to do it. And maybe this would have the same effect. I understand the point you're making, Paul. There are many other things to deal with in the restaurant and bar industry to help them. But I don't know if this is such a negative thing. We're seeing it as a negative thing because it comes across a bit nanny-state-ish, and I understand why that would be the case. Paul, listen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on talking to us today.
Anytime, Niall, anytime.
There you go, Paul Trevaux from Trevaux's Restaurant in Killarney. If you're heading down there in Hollier, stay there, John, with me. Let me just go to Norman. Norman, hi, how are you?
Hello, Niall, how are things?
Good, Norman, there you go. You heard John. John agrees with us. Rarely agrees with anything that's kind of authoritarian, but does agree with this.
Yeah. I guess, well, I'm not surprised, to be honest with you.
Are you not surprised John agrees with it, or you're not surprised that when we're talking about it? Which?
Bit of a blanket statement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, all right. Yeah. What are you not surprised at, Norman?
That John agrees with it.
Oh, right, okay. Fair enough.
But anyway, ask John, how many people die of air pollution worldwide? I mean, the air, real air pollution, not somebody smoking a fag. I mean,
right back at you, like I would say, let's deal with one thing at a time.
Yeah, well, Norman, what's the point you're getting to? 1,500 people, they say, they believe per year die in Ireland from air pollution. 1,500 people. But you can't, what are you going to do? Ban cars, buses, airplanes, yeah. Ban everything. Yeah. Ban everything.
Ban cars.
Yeah.
Ban cars.
Guys, come on, Norman, you're being silly. Now you're being silly.
Yeah. If you're such a baby and you're standing at a bus stop and you're complaining about somebody vaping or smoking a cigarette, A, you should be locked up, never let out. I mean, there's cars, every time I stand at a bus stop, there's a row of cars, constant row of cars, pumping out. At the bus stop I'm at is or any of the bus stops, are near traffic lights, so it's always backed up because people have to go in the one person per car. God forbid to be two or three or four people in the car.
Let's deal with one thing at a time.
He is dealing with it. He's making a point to you, John. You can't have the perfect world. In other words, as cars going by, carbon monoxide coming out of the exhaust pipes, you know, which is a dangerous gas. You know, it's air pollution. We have factories with air pollution. In other words, if you want to go down this kind of nanny state road, is what he's saying to you, let's just close everything down.
Well, yeah. That's ridiculous, because we can't stop the buses.
No, it's not ridiculous.
We can't stop the transport with the food going to the supermarket, because obviously the shelves are BMT.
One person per car. Are you kidding me? One person per car. Well, you can't fit in two or three or four or five. All these SUVs driving around.
What about the one person in the car that's smoking inside in the car? He's doing himself an amount of damage. And again, he ends up taking up valuable medical space in the hospitals.
But John, what you're kind of saying there is that if I arrive into a hospital with a condition and I'm a smoker, I should be treated as some sort of second-class citizen because I kind of brought it on myself. Yeah. That applies to nearly every illness.
I'm not saying that you should be denied medical treatment, but what I am saying is what brought you there in the first place was something that you didn't have to do. You didn't have to...
That applies to almost everybody. People who go into hospital with heart conditions have probably ate too much, haven't exercised enough, or ate the wrong food. You know, people who go in with liver problems probably drank too much. That applies to almost everybody
Repeating, I keep repeating the mantra, let's deal with one thing at a time. Let's get rid of the killer cigarettes.
No, are you crazy, man? Listen, there's people, the biggest problem in Ireland at the moment is obesity and cardiac issues and lack of exercise. Sitting in a car all day long, 2 hours in traffic, driving from Navan to Dublin, when houses should be built and apartments should be built in the C7.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on all that. Yeah. But as I said,
you don't agree with me because if you did, you would be coming out with a
gun. The cigarettes. Answer me one question. Do you or do you not believe that cigarettes cause terrible damage to a person's body?
I think obesity and lack of exercise.
We're not talking about obesity. We're talking about cigarettes, as I said.
You asked him a question. Let him give the answer. Norman, go ahead.
Okay. Obesity, stress is probably one of the biggest killers in the world.
Yeah,
agreed.
Followed by obesity. Yeah. Can I just finish? Followed by obesity, followed by a lot of other disease, by life issues, or how we live our life, or live our life incorrectly. We need to tackle the issue. How do we live? There's a lot of mental issues in the world today. Yeah?
Agreed again.
Mm-hmm. Suicide and whatever. All caused by stress. Mm-hmm. And people not living proper lives and not having a bit of exercise. You can't cycle in Dublin. It's too dangerous. And it's been proven again and again, just a simple cycle trip will make you feel better, not only physically, but mentally. Ireland has got one of the biggest mental problems in Europe.
Norman, I don't want to cycle anyway. A lot of people just don't want to cycle.
I can't imagine.
This is not Spain or, you know, it's not Spain or Florida. It's usually piss and rain, and that's why most people don't cycle in Ireland.
Come on.
I'm telling you, the weather in Ireland is one of the main reasons we don't cycle very much. Who wants to cycle to work in the piss and rain?
Come on, man. You're not a baby. You're a grown-up man, are you, or not? Put on a raincoat.
No, that's another thing, right?
Put on a raincoat,
for God's sake. You're going to melt in the rain.
Yeah, I mean, look, in fairness, Norman, you know, they have made an effort, you know, to put a lot of cycle lanes in. And I see a lot of the cycle lanes, and they're empty. Over. They're empty most of the time. People aren't using them.
No, they're not empty. They're full of cars.
They're not all full of cars.
I try cycle from Dame Street all the way up to Rathmines to Redcar Tainier. Down to Cumberland or whatever.
I was driving there from Blackrock into Dublin there recently. And they have a lovely cycle lane that nearly runs the whole way in up the Rock Road everywhere, right up through Monkstown.
I'd go out there and live there then. I can't afford a house though, but if I could, I'd live out there.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, you know, I think I passed five bikes on the way and there was bumper to bumper traffic. So, you know what I'm saying is, that many people aren't. A lot of those lanes are there up along Clontarf, the Coast Road. There's loads of cycle lanes. And some people use them. That's great. But most people don't want to. Most people don't want to use them.
And Dunleary and Fox Rock. Yeah, I'm sure they got loads of bikes. But is there any bike lanes out in Drimnagh?
Now, if I lived in Spain or Portugal or Florida or somewhere where the weather was kind of half nice, I'd probably cycle a bit. But I'm not in this weather. I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, but so all those crazy people in Copenhagen and Amsterdam, where it's freezing in the winter, where it's -5 or -10,
or
snowing or whatever. What they can do and we can't.
Okay, we're going off the topic. I get the point you're making anyway. But look, we're going off the topic for the moment. Getting back to Keir Starmer's plan to ban smoking in outdoor areas.
He's an idiot. Yeah.
Well, he is an idiot. That's beside the point. And I don't think he'll last long as the Prime Minister of Britain. But in saying that, that's his plan. And he said it's to future-proof the NHS.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, his government and the Tory governments have starved the NHS of funds. So I think they want to save the NHS. They need to get rid of themselves.
Mm.
That's their problem.
Okay, so you don't think this is a good thing at all? John thinks it is. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Maureen as well. Maureen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm good. What do you want to say?
When as far as Starmer is concerned.
Yeah, well, yeah, this ban, the ban on smoking. Let's stick to what we're talking about.
He's another jumped up little Mussolini.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you see, look,
he's a big lefty. Well, he's a big lefty, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. The sooner he's gone, the better.
That I wouldn't agree with either. But let's stick to what he's talking about, which is the smoking ban per se. You know, I'm a smoker. I couldn't care less if they banned it in restaurants or outside restaurants, should I say, or outside bars or public events. It wouldn't bother me. But is it the principle of it? That's fine. Yeah.
That's fine. But there are people that do like their cigarette and they like their cigarette after a cup of coffee and they like their cigarettes and sitting in a chat. The thing is, who owns the air outside? None of us own the air out there. So they have no jurisdiction whatsoever
Well, they do. That's why
they don't. Well, hang on.
They brought in regulations. Well, let me just finish what I'm saying. They brought in regulations in relation to cars, you know, catalytic converters, for example. All cars legally must be fitted with a catalytic converter when they're built, as of from a certain year. I can't remember what year it was, because of emissions. So they do have, and the same with factories and pollution in factories, for example. So there is legislation around the air that you breathe that it must be of a certain quality.
Yeah, because they brought it in. Mm. But for somebody that sits outside smoking a cigarette, they have no authority to tell me or anybody else that I can't sit out there and smoke my cigarette. And if that comes in here, they're not going to be telling me that I can't either, because I won't obey it, because it's a load of crap. Now, I don't drink alcohol, but I have never once called for people not to drink alcohol. People who end up in hospitals with needing liver transplants, damaged kidneys over alcohol, more so than over people smoking cigarettes. I've never once asked for alcohol to be banned. Maybe I should start to turn around on the... and be another Mussolini and say, well, I hate alcohol. I don't be around drunk, so I want alcohol banned.
John, you're a drinker, John. Maureen wants alcohol banned, so you'll save the NHS.
No, I don't.
I'm only saying. We're giving an example.
No.
Because John wants it banned. Yeah.
Well, you see, again, getting back to the health side of it, like we say, if Maureen was a handy smoker, we say, the reason I wanted to stop smoking is because I don't want to see her sick. The late Morris Nelligan there, fantastic man in the Blackrock Clinic there, he's now deceased now. He said if people stop smoking, he said that lung cancer and throat cancer would almost disappear overnight.
That's well, it wouldn't disappear, but yes, it would greatly reduce. It would greatly reduce, of course. Yeah.
If people stop drinking, liver failure, kidney failure.
I agree with you, Molly, but the thing is what I don't want to see anybody getting sick. And I can't, when I see people smoking, they can mean...
Yeah, but John, that's all very well. But you were on there saying you wanted this banned and that banned. Are we at the stage now that we want everything banned? This is what's going to happen. If they ban that, something else will come along and that will be banned. It will be more in their line to be out in the streets, catching the fellas with machetes and the knives, taking glasses off of people... who are walking on the street carrying a weapon.
I have no problem with that, Marlene, but the thing is, like, I'm coming at it purely from a health point of view. I'm not cocky about authoritarianism, Starmer, Micheál Martin, Harris, or O'Gorman, or any implementing this, that, and being the big dictator, whatever. I'm purely coming at it from a health point of view. I want to see people well. The disgusting sicknesses that you can get in cigarettes, the hours inside the hospital, the operations,
but
the recovery
time. But John, you're taking their choice away from them. You have no authority to do that, and nobody has anybody, and nobody else has any authority to do that. If that's the case, we're going to live in such a nanny state. But we won't be able to do anything shortly.
When the smoking ban came in the first place, and there was going to be Phil McGee's up in Galway, there was another place here in Cork, they were all going to float it. We're not putting up with this thing, and the public won't. But what won that battle? It wasn't Micheál Martin. He implemented it, right? But it wasn't he won that battle. It was the people decided to go along with it and to just stop smoking inside and bars.
Yeah, I mean, Maureen, if we did it, right, let's just say they brought in the law tomorrow and said you can't smoke outside bars, beer gardens, restaurants and all that kind of stuff, public events, and they brought it in tomorrow. I think people would just do it. I don't think anyone would be too bothered.
No.
I agree with John in respect of. I remember when the smoking ban came in, I was the first one to say this is ridiculous, right? Because I worked in the nightclub industry. I thought it was going to be terrible. I thought people, because I used to be given out about people smoking on the dance floor and all this kind of stuff, right? But I can tell you, and I said, oh, how the hell are we going to police this? People are going to be doing it. I'm going to be announcing it as a DJ every night. Put out your cigarette. But I can tell you now, from the moment it came in, I don't think we ever put one person out for smoking in the place. If anybody lit up a cigarette after the smoking ban, it was purely by accident. And we didn't give out to people at the start because people just did it out of habit by mistake. But, you know, you just go over and tell them to put it out. And they were fine with it. Nobody really ever caused a problem over it. Nobody. People just policed themselves.
But hang on a second. They were talking about it here, these traitors up here in Dublin, was it last year? But I remember them talking about it. That they wanted, if you sat in a public park, wide open space, you couldn't smoke.
But Keir Starmer said that as well. Keir Starmer has said
Well, so did our traitors say as well.
Keir Starmer has said...
So I'm not obeying it. I'm obeying none of that.
Okay, let me finish. Keir Starmer said the ban would also include outdoor restaurants, outdoor sports venues, bars, hospitals, nightclubs and small public parks.
He can stick it up his non-binary. I'm not obeying it.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Karen. Karen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good.
I'm with Maureen today.
Maureen said he can stick it up his... you know what?
He's non-binary. I'm with Maureen. I just think it's just another, you know, state intervention again, another nanny state, the government telling us again what we can and can't do. I say this, by the way, as somebody who smoked many years ago and a muffin for many, many years. But I'm watching and listening to you and you're saying, well, you know, and I do agree at the time I was off the cigarettes, I can't remember, before them. But anyway, I don't, like, the fact is when we stopped the smoking inside, however, then you had people then going outside to have a cigarette. But if you take that away as well, for people who genuinely are out having a couple of drinks and they enjoy a cigarette, for someone who used to do that many years ago, and you yourself as a smoker.
Yeah.
But if you take that away from people now, where are they going to go? It will kill.
But you're saying that, and here's the thing. You know me. I hate nanny state nonsense and control and authoritarianism. And I hate all of that, right? And I was the first one to give out about it, Karen, in 2003 when they banned smoking in nightclubs and bars. Oh, this is never going to work. This is terrible. This is awful. This will kill the industry. It didn't. And people just policed themselves.
It didn't kill the industry. But however, when you look back at the time then, you had all the pubs and they had the smoking areas outside.
Mm.
So those arrangements were there for people. You can't just smoke at the bar anymore. You've got to take a pack of cigarettes, go outside to the beer garden or go outside to the smoking area and have your cigarette. You're literally going from one room to another, basically, outside.
But a lot of people, including me, right, if I went to a restaurant, because I couldn't smoke at the table, I was in a restaurant the other night, right? Now, I smoke quite a lot. Well, I smoke 15 to 20 a day, right? And because I couldn't smoke in a restaurant, I don't smoke in a restaurant. I don't get up halfway through the meal and go outside and have a cigarette, as much as I'd like one, maybe between the starter and the dinner, right? I don't get up. I don't get up when I'm finished the meal because I'm sitting chatting to Karen or whatever, right? So we're talking or whatever, or having a drink or whatever, and I don't get up and go out. So it stopped me from doing that, and I don't miss it either. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for a lot of people, it kind of encouraged them to stop. Or reduce, anyway.
But I know, but a lot of people will. A lot of people like that when they go to heaven, they have their bite to eat, they enjoy the meal, and then what they want, a cigarette afterwards. But now all of a sudden, people aren't going to find themselves, they won't be able to go to heaven and have that cigarette.
No, they won't be able to.
But again, that's a personal choice. And we're now taking away this personal choice from people. And this is on the grounds of public health. I don't buy that for one moment, because if this was on the grounds of public health, well, let's examine. Let's examine the public health. Are we going to ban ultra-processed fuels? Are we going to ban sugar? Are we going to ban alcohol?
Yeah.
Hang on.
John, yeah, sorry, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, if it's not about health, sure, right? I mean, why is it written in the packets, smoking will give you cancer, have to see smokers are younger? Why is that printed? That was made to be printed, right, on the cigarettes to warn people that this is what can happen to you, right? We should never have done that, so the process. And as regards the point that it didn't kill the industry, right? It didn't kill the industry, that's quite right. But what cigarettes are doing, they're killing people 7 days a week.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you're taking away people's personal choice. I chose to give up cigarettes because I knew they weren't good for my health. I could feel myself sometimes every now and again getting a bit of wheeze. I said to myself, Jesus, I'm too young for this. And I made the personal choice in 2013 to give them up at a... And I've never looked back. It's personal choice, John. These are personal choices that people make. Yeah, like, for example, John.
Go ahead,
just 1 minute. For example, some people choose to smoke, other people choose not to smoke. Some people choose to smoke, and once they start smoking, they can't give them up. Like myself, they were scourged for years. But I made the decision to go up because I know they're bad for my health. But that's not for me to decide what Niall should do or should not do. I mean, are we going to ban McDonald's? Look at the shite that's in that food that's been pumped out. Are we going to ban McDonald's? Again, I don't think we should ban McDonald's.
Okay, well, hang on. She's got a point, you know, John. I wouldn't miss McDonald's if it was... Yeah, I wouldn't miss it if it was gone tomorrow, McDonald's. But I do eat the odd McDonald's if I'm kind of stuck or travelling in the car sometimes and I'm feeling a bit peckish. It's not good for you, John. We know processed food is not good for you. It's not good for your heart. It's not good for your cholesterol. It's not good for any party. You could end up in hospital in the future eating too much. That's shite as well. So is she right? If that's the case, should we go down the route of, you know, banning everything that's bad for you?
There's no such thing as moderation as regards cigarettes, you see. And this idea of a choice. So the guy standing in front of the judge in Cork District Court today that was caught driving at 150 kilometres or whatever over the speed limit, he says to the judge, I shouldn't be here at all. It was my choice. I should have the choice to drive at 170 kilometres an hour.
But no, that's a different situation. Because you're risking other people's lives as well.
Yeah, but you see, the smoking is risking your own life, but it's also taking up space in hospitals that other decent people...
Using the argument of taking up space in hospitals because that then leads you down the road to saying, if somebody comes into a hospital with a heart condition and they're obese, do you turn around and say, oh, you're taking up a space in hospital, how dare you eat too much? You know what I mean?
We're taking away people's choices, and we're going to ban one... If it's all about public health, then we ban everything. We ban alcohol, because we know alcohol destroys public health. Alcohol destroys liver.
Yeah, bad fat, fatty foods, sweets.
Buns, cakes, sweets.
Donuts.
Let's ban all them.
That'd be a good donut.
Let's ban all processed food. Pizzas. Pizzas are killing people. We're going to ban pizzas now. Are we going to tell parents that you can't give your children a McDonald's anymore? If it's a matter about public health, then we should ban everything. But if it's not about public health, it's about personal choice. And as an adult, I feel I should be able to make my own choices. I know... They know it's bad for their health. They know it's not good.
Okay, well, do me a favour. Stay there for a second. Let me just bring Dave in as well here. I have loads of people to get through now. Everybody's getting very excited about this. Stay there, John. Dave, hi, how are you?
What's the crack?
Dave, Keir Starmer wants to bring in a ban, just to remind people we're talking about. He wants to ban smoking. Let me just make sure I read this properly. Oh, where's it gone? Oh, yeah. He wants to ban smoking outdoors in certain places. Outside pubs, beer gardens, restaurants, sports venues, hospitals, nightclubs and small parks. In the interest of the NHS.
Yeah. Of all the things for poor old Keir to try to latch onto so he doesn't look so bad, why did he make something so stupid? It's a waste of time and it's a waste of money. I mean, imagine you're going to have consultants in on this. You're going to have people draw up legislation. You're going to have solicitors involved. You're going to spend millions of euros on it, and it's absolutely pointless. You know, because first of all, people will probably just ignore it. I'd be like, "Geez, I'm dying for a fag. Sure, here, I'll go down the road, have a quick smoke, and come back up again." That's all that's going to happen. You know, people, or the loophole will probably be vapes. So someone's like, to go for a few pints tonight.
No, the vapes are going to the same legislation. But no, hold on. No, they won't go up the road. No, people are. No, you might get the odd agent that'll walk up the road to have a cigarette. Fair enough. Listen, but most people, you take a Sunday afternoon in a beer garden, right? There's 150 people there. The reason they're out in the beer garden is because, A, it's nice weather and you can smoke. Out of the 150, maybe 30 of them are smoking. Two of them might decide to wander up the road to have a cigarette. But the other, you know, 30 or whatever, 28 people or whatever it is, will decide, actually, look, I'll just do it out.
No, well, no, sorry, I disagree. I disagree with you there, especially because when you're out in the piss and you're drinking, you tend to smoke a lot more. So of that 30 people, I could see 25 of them would just say, here, I'm just going to run down the road there for a quick bag and be back in 5 minutes.
No, it's never going to happen.
It will. I'm telling you as a person who both drinks
Dave,
and smokes.
Dave, I experienced it all, the smoking ban, when it came in first in the nightclub industry. Hold on. 50%. Now, this is going back to the 2003. I would say roughly 40 to 50% of the punters in the nightclub, when smoking was there, were smoking. 50% of them didn't go outside to the beer garden. A large percentage just didn't bother smoking. They just sacrificed it for the night.
Yeah, but how many of those people were the kind of people who only smoke when they're drinking? Because you do have a lot of people.
You, it did reduce the amount of people that bothered to go out and have a cigarette.
But the smoking ban also gave rise to the smoking area. And when you go to most like nice pubs or nightclubs, you will find the majority of people who smoke are out in the smoking area all night because they have a place where they can have a few pints and have a quick fag as well. But like, who's going to police this as well? Like, if you're in a park and you light up a cigarette.
It doesn't have to be policed. It was never policed in the industry, in the nightclubs and bars. People just did it.
Exactly.
People just did it.
No, of course. And look, smokers self-regulate. Like, if I'm in a place and I want to have a fag and I see there's a load of people around me, I'm seeing, Jesus, all the smokers here, I'll go off to a quieter area and I'll have my smoke. But I'm just saying, just bringing in something like this would be a waste of money. Like, if they want to get people off cigarettes, why don't they make the likes of cessation products like patches, gum?
Oh, that's another thing they should do. I agree
all
with
that
you.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why, you
why
know,
isn't
why,
it free? It should
why
be free.
Why don't they make stuff like that free? Yeah. Or if Keir Starmer really wants to help the NHS.
Well, in fairness to the NHS, that sort of stuff is free on the NHS anyway.
No, I know. But what he's saying that he wants to protect the NHS. Yeah. The NHS has faced 14 years of divestment and just absolute shitebaggery from the previous government. So banning smoking outdoors, it might have maybe have a small effect, but like, the problem is getting to people and getting them to give up the cigarettes. It's not banning them from doing something, because if you ban someone from doing something, they'll just do it somewhere else. Do you know?
Yeah, like, sorry, John, you want to say something to Dave there?
Yeah, let's see what Dave thinks of this idea. This is 2024, right? So given up to 2030, that gives us 7 years, right? Let's set a date, just like the smoking ban that came in. Let's set the date of today, the 2nd of September, 2030, that by the time we get to that date, there will be no more cigarettes for sale in this country.
I would be all for that. John, I would love it if I woke up in the morning and they said all tobacco products are now banned. Because I've tried hypnosis to give up the cigarettes, and it's the one thing I can't seem to do. I can't seem to kick the habit. I'd love to see him banned in the morning. I'd love to see tobacco just disappear from the face of the planet.
But Dave, you're the type who'll figure out and find some Polish lad or some lad that will get them from Poland for you, or somewhere on the black market.
I bought black market cigarettes before, and it was the most vile, disgusting. Like, if that was all that you could get your hands on, I think I would actually give up the cigarette.
I don't think you would, Dave, because I remember as a 17-year-old not having any money to buy a packet of cigarettes, and I got me ma's tea leaves and rolled them up in a bit of paper.
We've all been there.
Or looked for me dad's butts and made a cigarette out of it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so don't tell me you wouldn't do it. You'd buy anything. You'd smoke anything at that stage.
Trust me. Lad, I trust me, Niall. If I gave you a packet of the knockoff or the black market smokes that I got before, you'd actually give them up yourself. You couldn't smoke them. They're vile. They're disgusting. And you feel absolutely sick after them. We also have to remember, tobacco products are worth, I think it's like $1.2 billion in revenue to the state every year. So call me cynical, But maybe I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, they take a very soft approach to try and give people up, you know, get people like, yeah, oh yeah, we want you to give up the cigarettes, but you know, there is also all this money coming in from the sale of them as well.
Well, yeah, but the argument is, of course, if there was no cigarettes, you know, less people would have lung cancer, less people would be in hospital, you know, and which would cost the health service a little bit less.
And you really think that would make a massive difference to the HSE? Honestly, the way it's run, the way it's been run for the last 20 years,
Probably not. HSE would suddenly start working in the morning? No is the answer. Of course it wouldn't. No. Because the HSE is a shambles. Yeah, sorry, John.
Yeah, look, see again, coming strictly from the health point of view, by his own admission, Dave says, like you mean, he wish he didn't smoke, right? So I am worried for Dave. I want to see Dave well, not sick. And all the other Daves out there, and all the other Marys and Joans and Maureens, I want to see them all well. I don't want to see them damaged from the horrendous cigarettes.
Okay, stay there. Let me go to Connie. Thanks, Dave. Connie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Connie, you heard Dave. Bad idea. This is kind of nanny state material. No, absolutely not. Whereas John is saying, yes, he agrees with Keir Starmer. Bad it.
Completely not. I would agree with him, first of all, on any level. But no, that's not the point. Do you know what? We were born with free will. And I was only ever a part-time smoker, so, you know, I don't smoke anymore. I've asked them anyway, so I should never have smoked. Mm. But they're bad for you. But sure, look, I'm standing here now, and there's a blue sky, Niall. But I mean, most of the time...
Where are you standing with the blue sky in Cork?
Yeah, it's just now.
Pissing raining in Dublin. Yeah, but go on, yeah.
It's only now. It was grey all morning now.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that... this is only another distraction now, a load of rubbish. I don't know what it's about. But sure, I only worked in pubs for a short while and I'm finished. But I worked in a pub that they brought in the smoking ban when it was inside. And it was a historic moment, really. But I mean, for fuck's sake, sorry, I didn't mean to curse.
Okay.
It came out my mouth. It came out. It makes it easier to say it. But like, for God's sake, in all fairness.
But you said you were born with free will, right? And you are born with free will, right? You're born, if you want to sit down eating donuts all day and end up in hospital with cardiac arrest, that's your choice, right? But there are certain things that we're not allowed to do. You know, like, for example, you're not allowed, you know, to go over the speed limit. You're not allowed to murder people. What I'm saying is there is a level of free will that is restricted.
But come on. Like, if someone's standing outside the door of a pub or wherever, they're not only harming themselves. How can that harm anybody? For the NHS, more rubbish. How can that harm anyone inside the door? There's a lot more things that will harm a person than smoking.
The fact is they're harming themselves. They will end up then taking up valuable space with consultants, treatment, hospitals.
Yeah, but John, it's not illegal to harm yourself.
Can I say something?
Should we have to this idea that you can do everything, you can't. I mean, we have to live by some kind of rules, and sometimes decisions have to be made for people, for their own safety, their own goodwill.
Yeah, go ahead, Connie. You want to say something to him?
Well, you know what? If you don't have enough free thinking and a bit of a brain inside in your head and understand, everyone knows, it's written on the cigarette boxes, how bad they are. There's a lot more things around the world nowadays to worry about that people are getting and being promoted as healthy from who? Yeah, the big boys on top. You know what? I don't promote cigarette smoking or any other kind of smoking, but if people want to do it, it should be their free right. And you're outside in the fresh air in buckets. Because, you know, what harm are you doing? If you're harming yourself, we don't need an any state. We don't need, there's enough of that going on in the world trying to control people. We don't need any more of it. It's ridiculous. I thought it was a joke first, to be honest. Banning them inside in the public, fair enough, because there's other people breathing that air, right? Or inside anywhere. I understand that. But, like, maybe they're trying to get rid of cigarettes altogether. There's a lot more worse things you could be doing. That's what I'm saying.
Well, they are trying to get rid of cigarettes altogether. That is the ultimate goal, Connie, isn't it?
And that's a good thing as much for a smoker now, like yourself. But, I mean, sure, you've got to find some way of getting them anyway. Do you know?
What would you do if they turned around tomorrow and said, okay, as in from next year, on January the 1st, we're banning cigarettes? Would you agree with that?
And me?
Yeah.
Yes, because because it doesn't make a difference to me because I don't smoke.
Well, see, this is what I don't understand. You're saying about free will and all that kind of thing, but yet you think, that's not a bad idea to ban smoking, is it?
Well, the thing is, some people would have to give up then, I suppose, unless they go on the black market, you know?
Stay there. Well, hang on, Connie. Just stay there. Bernie is going to talk sense now because she was formerly a nurse and she's seen the damage that cigarettes did, I'm sure. Bernie, hi.
Hey, Niall, and I smoked myself for 20 years.
Okay. So Keir Starmer wants to ban cigarettes, you know, in outdoor places, including beer gardens, including restaurants and pubs and small parks, etc. He wants to have them banned.
No, I think it's people can smoke where they want. But we can't stop. What about the people who are eating sweets who are, you know, rotting their stomachs and becoming diabetic? What about the obese people? Are we going to pick on everybody who does something that we feel is wrong? If you want to smoke, it's your free will to smoke. That no one can stop you. You know, and I've nursed people who, as a result of smoke, and I had the heavy duty patients who had, you know, lost their voice boxes, half their tongues, half their faces. I've nursed those people. I was privileged to look after them. And every one of them, right up to the end, still wanted a cigarette, some of them. Not all of them, but some of them did.
Because they were addicted.
Exactly. And it's an addiction. Like, there's so many things and so many people are addicted to.
Yeah, but if you remove the item that's causing the addiction, you won't be dealing with that type of patient. And you've seen the horrors that cigarette smoke can do, like. So you should be definitely against banning it.
Yeah, but John, there's so many other things that people are dying from. Like, there's so many other things. It's not.
Of course there is, but let's get rid of this one.
No, but
that's the point I'm making.
There's no guarantee. Like, some people, I know people who smoked until their 90s, and they did fine. You can't make the same rule for everybody. Everyone is entitled to do. It's your life. If you want to do a smoke, that's your business. No one can stop it. Why are we making it? So we're making everything illegal that we enjoy. We can't drive, we can't smoke, we can't, you but, can't and, eat, you know.
Here's an example, so we'll say a friend of mine, so, right, that he's drinking heavily, you know, and he's really in danger of losing his job, losing his family, whatever. And he's the kind of guy, we're great friends, we'll say, right? It's not hypothetic, no, by the way, I'm not talking about an actual friend.
Okay.
But the whole thing about it is, like, am I supposed to just say, oh, look, she'll let him alone, let him lose a job, let him fuck up his marriage, the whole lot, the whole. But I know if I start talking to him, that he will listen to me and he will possibly not go down that road. Is it then not incumbent on me to talk to the guy like?
But look, John, we can all have our own opinions. No one is going to follow your advice. You could have the best advice in the world and somebody will still do the opposite. Look at our kids. Like, you know, you tell them, oh, don't do this. They're still going to go out and, you know, ride a motorbike, even though you try and tell them 100 times it's lethal. Do you know, like, we all are in free will and we're entitled to...
Well, yeah, but there's an age limit to riding a motorbike, for example, right? I mean, so there are certain restrictions. We were concerned about vaping, so we banned there back in January the flavours, or we're banning the flavours, right? You know, that attract children to vaping.
Yeah,
we do bring in restrictions on free will, as Connie calls it, every now and again, you know, to protect the general public, because we have a duty, and we really do have a duty to protect people to some degree. So there are restrictions on free will sometimes in the interest of public health, you know. And I'm not, you know me, Bernie, I hate rules, I hate regulations, I hate nanny statism, I hate the government bringing any laws, because I hate the government, period, because I think they're a useless bunch of idiots, right? But in saying that, like, when Stephen Donnelly, who, by the way, I have no time for whatsoever, I think he's the worst Minister for Health we've ever had, but when he said last week, I think we should ban smartphones for people under the age of 16, I said, realistically, I don't believe he cares, to be honest with you. I think he's just saying something to distract us all away from the children's hospital. But, you know, I don't disagree with that idea. I don't disagree with the idea of reducing the amount of people that smoke. And if this reduced the amount of people that smoke, I don't think it's such a bad thing.
But, Niall, look at, they put pictures of lungs, heart, they put all those awful...
I know!
...on cigarettes, and people are still smoking. What else can you do?
I know, I've got a packet of them. See, here in my pocket. What's on this packet? A poor baby on a ventilator.
You still have the packet. It doesn't matter. Like, you can't take... You still have a free will to smoke. Nobody can take that away from you. And I don't like to see governments getting involved and taking people's
But I was working the other night. I came out of retirement to do a nightclub gig the other night on Saturday night. It was a great night, by the way. Soho, over 30s. And I came out of retirement because they asked me to. And I was doing, it was a great gig, but I was 5 hours indoors in the nightclub doing the gig. I couldn't leave the DJ box, obviously, just in case, you know, I went wrong. And I didn't have a cigarette for that 5 hours.
And you were fine.
I was fine. I didn't die. I didn't lose the will to live. You know what I mean?
I traveled to New Zealand for 30 hours and I never got off one plane and went out.
Exactly.
I got married. But so it's free. But I'm in charge. I was in control of my smoking. I didn't let the government tell me, you know, I can't.
No, you did. No, you did. Because you got on that plane and the government brought in legislation that airlines weren't allowed to let you smoke. So in other words, the same when I go away to Florida, I'm sitting on a flight for 9 hours, no cigarette. I'm not going to break the rule.
Yeah, but you see, you would live within the law of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying, you know, sometimes laws are not such a bad thing. I cannot stand Keir Starmer. I think he's a moron, right? And I don't even believe he's doing it for the same reasons that I'm thinking of. But hey, if it stopped another 10% of people wanting to have a cigarette for that period of time, is that such a bad thing?
Well, I have my friend here. She smoked all her life. She's not going to give them up. She's gone in shopping now. But I wouldn't dream of asking her, you know, not to smoke in the car or anything like that. I respect that, you know, I mean, she doesn't do it. She wouldn't do it. But if she was stuck or stressed, I wasn't going to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's her outlet. That's one of her things. Like
well, taking drugs is one of the things for some people too, but we don't let them do that. Yeah. Sorry, John, what are you trying to say to Bernie?
By the way, 2 points. If I go into some of my friends are smokers, and if I'm in their house and they light up a fag, I will ask them to open the back door and stand outside the door and smoke while I'm in the kitchen. I will not breathe in their smoke. Secondly, the point that Bernie made about...
Now, I don't agree with that, John. If you're in somebody else's house and they're smoking in their house, you have no right to tell them to go out the back garden. Well, it's their house. Well, then you shouldn't be in their house. You should walk out the door yourself.
I would never do that.
I would never tell somebody what to do in their own home. But never.
Getting back to the point about what was put on the packets, right? The horrific scenes that were put into cigarette packets by her own admission, Bernie says, that didn't work. So seeing that didn't work, we'll have to go to the next step. And the next step is to ban them completely.
Mm. I mean, in relation to smoking in your home, by the way, I wouldn't smoke in the house either because Karen doesn't smoke, so I smoke outside. But in saying that, if you went into somebody's home and they're smokers and they smoke in their home and you said to them, will you go outside and smoke while I'm in your house? I tell you to piss off.
Well, then you'd have to go out, or I'd have to go out one or the other.
Well, then you'd have to go out, John, because it's their house. They're quite entitled to smoke in their house.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would never. It's up to me. If I don't smoke and they want to smoke, that's their. I respect that. That's their. That I sit with them.
Yeah,
they're my friend.
It's their house.
Yeah, but no, the very fact.
That's a bit of a stretch, John. Now you're stretch. You know, you're pushing me here. I'm trying to work with you here, but you're pushing me now.
No, but the fact is that the amazing thing about it, they have no problem with it because they know that I'm anti-smoke and I don't smoke.
That's fine. The same way, John. If I'm in a restaurant or a beer garden, right, and I'm having dinner outside, which I rarely do, by the way, because I don't like the feeling of eating outdoors. I know that's just a weird thing I have, right? But anyway, but if I'm eating outdoors and you know, and there's people near me or tables near me, I will not have a cigarette.
Yeah.
The same, you know, when myself and Karen are away, I will get up from the table if I really want to have a cigarette after the meal or whatever, right? And I'm outdoors and I can smoke legally, but there are other people around me who are not smoking. I'll get up from the table and walk up the road a little bit and have a cigarette.
Well done on that.
You know, I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't do it because I don't think it's polite to do it because other people just don't like the smell of cigarettes.
And being honest, in the real world, I'd love if none of us could have to smoke. Mm. I'd love if we wouldn't have taken it up in the first place. But we did. It's like having a pint. I'd love to if I'd never really done it, but I did. And I, you know, now I like the occasion. But it's a free will.
I'll ask you a question, Bernie. If this came down, we'd say to a referendum, right, to either to keep smoking or to ban smoking, which would you vote on it, and which way would you vote?
To keep smoking or to ban smoking, I probably would love to say I ban smoking.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me go to Gladys. Gladys, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I think it's all a bit of a smoke screen.
Nice pun. Nice pun there, Gladys. I like that. It is a bit of a smoke screen. A bit of a distraction, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it is. It's a lot load of nonsense. Look, you know, I will say one positive thing about smoking. It saved my life.
Smoking saved your life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I got a really bad infection 2 years ago, over 2 years now.
Yeah.
They don't know where, don't know how, whatever. But my lungs were full of carbon monoxide. It was like I was in a fire.
Okay.
Because I smoke so much.
Right, okay.
Protected me. So that's not an
I've heard doctors say that smokers' lungs can deal with a lot more because they're used to dealing with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I had to give them up. That was, you know, that was just the end of it. And I started following people around that smoked and dreaming about them, and because they are a huge addiction. And honestly, look, none of us who smoked are still smoking. They really want to. Do you want to pay 20 quid for a packet of fags that stink your clothes or whatever? No, it's an addiction. I think people should be a little bit more generous, you know, and sending us out into a field, you know, in the rain, you know, to put a wet cigarette. And it's just, I don't want to police it. It's just crazy.
I don't think you'd have to police it. We didn't police the smoking ban indoors back in 2003, and people just did it.
Yeah, but all the pubs, so Niall opened up the smoking area, and everybody, smokers, non-smokers, they were all out there, and there was one person minding the handbags, left on their own to talk to themselves, you know, because the crack was out in the smoking area, you know? So, like, really, honestly, I don't believe in banning. I am glad that I am no longer addicted to this horrible thing that I was addicted to.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I don't have to look for a place to have a cigarette or be looked at weirdly or, you know, oh, you horrible person. I don't believe in treating people like that.
But you're okay for other people to be addicted, is it?
What? Sorry?
I said, you're okay with other people being addicted to what you were once addicted yourself.
Listen, look, it's all very well for you to talk like that. You're not addicted. You have no clue. I'd climb over dead bodies to have a cigarette. I was addicted, heavily addicted to cigarettes.
I know that feeling, by the way.
You know, I'd get out in the middle of the night to go to a garage to buy a packet because I wouldn't have enough for the morning and whatever. And if you've never been down that road, really, you shouldn't bother your arse talking, really. You know, you don't know what it's like.
The point is, like, I mean, this is what we want to stop. We want no people going forward into the future becoming what you once were, addicted and damaging their health. This is purely from a health point of view.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about it is, this should have happened, you know, sort of thing, like, I mean, that when we all start and we were told, you know, it was cure TB and all the nonsense that we were told when we were young, when we started to smoke first, sophisticated, you look cool, you know, sort of thing. All of those things until they got you hooked, and that was that. They knew what they were doing. And I think we have to have sympathy, and we have no sympathy for smokers, none. We have clinics for heroin addicts. We have clinics for drug addicts and alcoholics and you name it. And we've zero sympathy for somebody who's addicted to smoking. Zero. Treated like you're weak, you're just, you know, a horrible person that you can't give them up or whatever, with no understanding of how difficult it is.
I have no time for people that take any form of drugs, whether it be cocaine, heroin, whatever, and if they end up in an overdose or whatever, they decided to damage themselves. I have no time for anyone that gets into that world of drugs. Why the hell don't they stay in their head? The best of us out there are trying to stay in our head and try and get on with our lives without getting out of our fucking head. This is more selfishness again. So, as against cigarettes and balancing out against other drugs, there was an outbreak there lately. There we are. Something happened inside the jails there now, right? There was contaminated drugs brought into the jail. Now, how they got in the first place, that's another question, Mac, right? But I have zero fucking sympathy for those people that got sick from those drugs. I tell you
hang on for a second, Gladys. Hang on, John. That's a bit unfair. I understand the point you're making, and I get that. But if you want to go down that route and talk like that, well, then you're saying I have zero sympathy for somebody who has a heart attack because they get too much throughout their life. I have zero sympathy for somebody who ends up with liver disease. They shouldn't have drank alcohol. I have zero sympathy. You know, I mean, how far do you stretch that, John?
Well, the fact is, like, I mean, if you're a smoker, you're damaging your head. If you're taking drugs, you're damaging your head. If you're talking about obesity, it can take a long time before a person gets out of condition.
Does it make any difference? Eating the wrong food is equally as bad as smoking. Equally as bad.
And what about loneliness? It's equivalent to 15 cigarettes a day. So, you know, a person that's suffering from acute loneliness by that very fact that they have, that they're so lonely. They've equated with smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
How many people have died now because they were on a waiting list, right? Because they couldn't get their medical care in time. Because the people ahead of them on the waiting list were smokers that seriously damaged
John, their lives. That's not an argument.
That is so unfair. There's so many people. I mean, are you going to have somebody standing at the door? Every smoker already suffers with the finger pointing. So are you going to have somebody at a hospital door saying, look at him now or her, look a bit overweight there, no, back of the queue, pal.
Yeah, you shouldn't have had so many donuts and you wouldn't be here today. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like you had a donut, or you might have a condition,
Did I not say earlier on that I'm not in favour of withholding medical care for smokers?
But you're looking now. The one thing I disagree with you, John, and I agreed with a lot of what you said today, but I disagree with your attitude towards people who are smokers going into hospital like they're using up a hospital bed wrongly. If that's the case, you could equate that to almost everybody who's in hospital, because most of us who end up in hospital, it's through bad life choices. You know, we either drank too much, we ate too much, we ate the wrong food, we didn't get enough exercise. You know what I mean? We have diabetes because we ate too much sugar in our lives. Not always, by the way, that's not always the cause of diabetes, but it can be. But so with all of those things, John, you know, generally speaking, when we end up in hospital,
an autoimmune disease that can change your life. You know, such thing that, you know, people are they banned from hospital as well?
Everything that you outlined there, right? Everything you outlined there, the whole obesity, the whole lot and everything, right? Okay, but let's concentrate on the one thing that...
What I'm saying is, don't be using that in your argument, John. You know that, you know, these smokers, you know, judging them, they're taking up space in our hospitals. You know, I'd argue that about everything.
But they are taking up space.
Everybody takes up space, right, as I have, because of medical reasons. And also, you know, I've now stopped smoking, so that's one less thing to worry about, you know. So they know, but they blame something else. Oh, God, did you eat a pizza last night? Could be that, you know. So it's just switched. You used to be smoking. Everything that was wrong with me was because I smoked.
Now you're eating too many donuts. All right, stay there for a second. I've just to go to Tara, I think. Tara, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are things?
Good. Tara, you heard what John said. Not such a bad idea. He likes Keir Starmer's plan, you know, to ban smoking, you know, in beer gardens and outdoor venues and restaurants, etc., etc. Do you agree with his idea?
No, I disagree with the ban. And I don't smoke. I'm not a smoker. But I personally believe things like phone masks, the pesticides and chemicals that are being sprayed in our foods, they are far more dangerous to our health than cigarettes and alcohol. That's what the government should be concentrating on, not cigarettes. This is about restricting freedom. It has nothing to do with health. Mexico imposed a total ban on the promotion, advertising and sponsorship of tobacco products. Why not do that? Why is the government's first port of call to remove the freedom of choice from people? And Nigel Farage has...
Tara, to be fair, we're not allowed to promote cigarettes or advertise cigarettes in this country.
Well, you see it on, say, like in Formula One. It's still all over the place. Like, it's still very visible.
Yeah.
But Nigel Farage spoke about how in Australia they've banned cigarettes and now drug dealers sell those and not cocaine. Mm. And years ago, I would have said, yeah, ban cigarettes. But what changed my mind was back when I worked as a journalist for a regional newspaper. And you'd often be sent out to interview someone who had turned like 100 years of age. And you'd always have to ask them the usual questions like, what's your secret to a long life? And every single one of them told me they smoked a cigarette or two every day and they would either have a whiskey or a brandy every day. And the way they put it was everything in moderation. Now, I know people don't do things in moderation, but that's their choice.
My own grandfather and grandmother lived very long lives. My granny was 96. My grandfather was 98 when he died, right? Which hopefully reflects on me in some way, although probably not because I'm adopted. But either way, my grandfather smoked Players untipped. He smoked about 40 of them a day and he drank Jameson's whiskey every single day, right? But he lived to 98. So we can give those anecdotal stories, but that's not generally the case. Generally, if you smoke, it's bad for your health. Anybody who thinks it's good for your health is a fool.
Well, no, I do believe pregnant women should be fined heavily if they're caught smoking. I do believe pregnant women should have the book thrown at them. I mean, you often see it outside the maternity unit in Galway. There used to be a covered area. I'm sure it's still there. But it's a designated seating area for smokers. And it wouldn't be unusual to see a heavily pregnant woman in a nightgown standing there with a cigarette. That disgusts me, because the unborn child has no choice but to face the potential consequences after they're born. Yeah. And so I do think, even though I disagree with an outright ban, I do think pregnant women should have the book.
But surely the world would be a better place, Tara, if people didn't smoke.
Sorry?
Surely the world...
I look at everything. The place would be an awful lot better if people didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do drugs.
Of course.
Didn't drive too fast. It just goes on.
That wouldn't happen. So, I mean, like in fairness,
we live in a life, you know, people make choices to smoke, to drive, to take drugs.
Cigarettes.
To ban, I don't believe, look, you know, sort of thing, like, I mean, I just don't, when some, I think ban not helping people, help people. If I'd have known how, that the actual patch, I didn't realise this, you know, sort of thing, but there's this patch that you get, and you only take it off your arm for 6 hours when you're asleep, so you're not dreaming about smoking or following people or wanting to hit them over the head to get their, rub their cigarettes off them. You're sleeping. But for the rest of the time, you have nicotine being pumped into you and you just reduce it. And that worked a treat.
No, and although, by the way, somebody mentioned earlier on, all those products should be available for free on the HSE. They're available in the UK and the NHS. All smoking cessation products should be free of charge. Yeah. But sorry, Tara, you know, I agree with you. And I like, you know me, I don't agree with banning things and nanny state rules or any of that. But the only thing I do agree with, I mean, if I go back to 2003, as I said already, when they banned smoking indoors, I was kind of against it. I said, oh, this is terrible. This is nanny state. This is awful. But it didn't do any harm. And, it, you know, if anything at all, it reduced the amount of people who smoked.
No, yeah. But I'm thinking of, say, pubs already have a hard enough time. If you take away the beer garden, you're it's just another element of freedom that's been removed, and it's another a factor that's making life quite difficult for pub owners. I just think people, if you're going to remove that element of freedom, it's just, I'm very uncomfortable with it. And as I said, I'm not a smoker. I mean, we all know the dangers of cigarettes. People know the dangers of taking drugs. It doesn't stop them using it, though. So, okay. I mean, you're just giving another gift to criminals. And it should be entirely your personal right to decide if you still want to smoke, even when you know the dangerous cigarettes. And I just think if the government were that concerned about our health, they would be concentrating on the chemicals and the pesticides that are being put in our food. They'd be concentrating on phone masks. They'd be concentrating on things like stress, which is a far bigger killer than cigarettes and sugar combined. So, you know, if they were that interested in our health or the NHS or whatever it is, they would focus on the real killers and start doing things like listening to the public, lowering taxes, introducing a 4-day work week, giving incentives to taxpayers so they remain working here instead of emigrating. You know, they'd be concentrating on broader things instead of picking on the usual
targets like smokers. Very quickly, John, Tara makes a really good point. You know, yes, maybe you agree with the idea of it in the big scheme of things. But, you know, realistically, is this the biggest thing we should be tackling? There are so many other things. You know, the pesticides we put on foods, Tara mentioned there as well. And there is so stress. A 4-day working week would reduce stress and would save so many lives. Loads of things we could be looking at if we really cared about health. But we don't care about health. We're actually just doing this to distract people from the real issues.
Well, I'm purely coming across again, I will appeal from a health point of view. And forget about all the other, I'm not saying forget about the pesticides and everything, you know, that's proper, right?
I'm demanding the 4-day work and week.
Address that, of course, and stress the whole lot. But let's just deal with one thing at a time. Let's remove the cigarette from humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be a better world.
Well, it would be, but I do like what Tara's saying. Like, I'm a 4-day, when I say 4-day work and week now, mind you, I work long days. I do, you know, daytime and nighttime. So I work daytime on the podcast, nighttime on the radio, but I do Monday to Thursday. I would never go back to working 5 days.
Yeah. And as regards this point, you know, about how affecting the smoking ban, affecting the pubs, so I mean, one of the major problems that, well, it's not a problem, but what did affect the rural bars is the drink driving, because the farmers and the people living in rural Ireland can't drink and drive anymore. So are we supposed to rescind that maybe and say, it's okay, shouldn't rural Ireland, you can drink and drive?
No, certainly not. Listen, Tara, Gladys, John, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you staying on as long as you did, John, because obviously I wanted to keep you there to defend Keir Starmer somehow, even though I know you're not a fan of his. Listen, thank you very much indeed, John, Gladys, Tara, and everybody got involved in the conversation today. Loads of messages, by the way, coming in as well, and one or two voicemails. Hold on, I'm going to get them for you there now. I shall play them for you. Oh, yeah, there they are there now. Let me just play that for you.
The laugh to reduce the burden on the NHS. Sure, the majority of doctors and nurses smoke. There's always a smoking area when you're in hospitals. I'd just like to know, what did they do years ago, like, when they didn't blame smoking on it? Like, what was the cause? Because to me, it's just a feckin' money racket. The way I look at it is, if it's not going to be smoking a cigarette, it's going to be something else. And that's the truth. Like, if you went into the hospital tomorrow and says that you didn't smoke, and you said you drink, they blame it on the drink. And then if you said you didn't drink or smoke, they tell you that you were eating something that you shouldn't be eating. So you're always going to have that. It's the biggest load of crap going.
Good afternoon. Oh, sorry, I can't come on. This topic is just more authoritarianism. It's just more control. Like, that's all this is. It's more control. We know smoking is bad for you. We pay enough taxes on the fucking things to cover the health when it's all said and done. It's just more, you'll do what we say. That's what it is, more of that. Okay, the smoking ban, you can go on about that. Yeah, it works seamlessly. We all copped on. But more people are smoking now. Vaping is becoming more and more popular by the bleeding day. And, you know, cigarettes are not going to go anywhere. And if they did ban them tomorrow and got rid of tobacco out of the country, who's going to pick up the taxes off it? Where's that going to come from? Not to mention, the bobbleheads and people before profit and all these lulas want to introduce cannabis now to legalise that. What are you going to roll your spliff with? You know, it's just more built on your neck. We'll tell you what to do and you'll fucking do it. Or else. And that's what this is just more of. Authoritarianism bullshit. I live my life. I pay my taxes. If I want to buy a cigarette and smoke a cigarette outside where I'm harming nobody, that's my choice. You know, it's my choice. The government won't tell me what to do with my body, what to put into it, unless it's actually a legal substance right now. And who wants to do that anyway? Bollocks to the lot of it, Noel. It's just more authoritarianism. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you for that, Jonathan. By the way, loads of messages, by the way, coming in as well on Facebook and what have you. Somebody, Simon, says, cannot see the need for this ban. I'm a non-smoker, asthmatic, honestly. I just stay away from smoking areas. Flank says, British PM should spend more time thinking about pensioners rather than what people in beer gardens do. What a numpty. They can't enforce dog poop fines, let alone smoking fines, says Paul. I can't see how you can enforce a non-smoking when someone is outside. I think he is lurching from one bad move to another like a sinking ship, says that's a great name, by the way. The Wild Wexican. Yeah. Niall, can you just tell Maureen that she is the sexiest accent ever, says Dave. I'm sure she'd be delighted to hear that. All right, listen, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. Don't forget, by the way, please support the show. It's the end of the month. Well, start of the month, but the end of the month, we have to pay all the bills. So please do help us out if you possibly can. Please go to our website, nileboylan.com. There it is down there. See? You'll see it written down there. nileboylan.com. Please go to the website. And if you can, donate or subscribe. If everybody watching the show right this very moment in time, for Twitter alone, for example, at this very moment in time, I'm looking here, 1,300 people at this very moment in time. Throughout the whole show, it's been thousands more because people come in and out of it, okay? But at this very moment in time, just on Twitter, it's on Facebook as well. Normally it's on YouTube and the website too, but just today we have a technical issue. We can't do that. That'll be back tomorrow. But, you know, thousands of people watch it live every day. We charge you nothing to watch it. At least those who download it later on have to be, you know, subjected to an advertisement at the start. We get a cent or two every now and again for that, but for off Spotify and iTunes. But those of you watching it right now, see, I can see you on Twitter. 1,500 of you is there roughly, watching it just on Twitter. That's not including watch it live right now on Facebook as well and everywhere else. Those of you, if each one of you even gave us 50 cent, you know, we would be all right. We'd pay the bills every month. We wouldn't have to beg. But you don't. You watch it for free. There's no ads over my head in either side. We're not like some of the podcasts that have a big ad at the top here for something or whatever it is. We don't want to do that because we don't want to be in a situation where we have to rely on advertisers to tell us what we can and can't talk about. Because that's essentially what happens when you have a sponsor. So please do support us. If all of you 1.3 thousand right now on Twitter went to a website and gave us a fiver once a month, that's all we're asking for, which is a couple of cent per show, a fiver once a month. If you just donated or you subscribed, we wouldn't have to beg. So please do. RTE get 100 or 750 million of your money. We don't get any of it. So please go onto our website, nileboylan.com. Just donate a fiver even, just a once off a fiver. Or if you can afford to subscribe once a month, please do that and let us know. You will be forever in our debt, by the way, for doing that. And by the way, don't forget, we do have mugs. See those mugs there? We give away one every single day. So anybody who subscribes or donates, if you go onto our website right now and subscribe or donate, we give away one of those every single day. Randomly, we just pick one subscriber per day. So please do it first. Website, nileboylan.com. We should talk to you again tomorrow at the same time, 12 o'clock. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.